First of all, it's not correct that Planned Parenthood was tied to that vote. Planned Parenthood comes out of Medicaid funding, which is directed by the state. State does the contracts. The omnibus bill was just the discretionary part of the budget, not the mandatory spending part of the budget. But if you take that task, you take that argument, when 50% of the omnibus was for our military, if you say you wouldn't have voted for it, that means you wouldn't have supported our men and women in uniform. You wouldn't have supported funding them overseas, given the equipment, the means and materials to defend themselves. So you got to be very, very careful when you make these blanket statements, not really understanding what a spending bill actually does.
You've been through a shutdown in Washington, D.C. a few years ago. When you look at a bill like the one in December, as opposed to maybe what was going on 4 or 5 years ago when we had the government shutdown there in Washington, D.C., what was the difference between that situation then and the situation in December?
Well, I think you learn. No one won when you get to a loggerhead like that. Again, you really do put at risk the national security of our country, because you are, even though you have critical employees still hired, you may not have the cleaning people that are coming through the CIA headquarters, you know, cleaning up and the like. You put at risk our State Department. You put at risk our military. Not also the Superfund cleanups that you might be doing through the EPA and the like. So we have to really understand. You know, Ronald Reagan, you know, Nancy just passed. So maybe people think of Ronald Reagan. He said that, you know, if I cut a deal and get 80% of the deal, I'll take that. And then I'll go back for the next 20. We've lost that somewhere in this debate. It's kind of an all or nothing, you know, jump off the cliff and everybody be okay. Well, no, when you jump off a cliff, someone's going to get hurt. So good adults should be able to get to some agreement sometime, and government shutdowns is really not the way.
Before we came on the air here, we were talking a little bit about kind of what a strange year 2016 is politically, with Donald Trump leading the Republican presidential race at this point. With that kind of, anti-establishment fervor out there, what kind of an effect do you think that might have on your primary race this year?
I think the whoever is going to define themselves as Republicans coming to vote for a primary, you could have put in three blocks: a populist vote, an uncompromising conservative block, and everything else. Rubio was thought to maybe pick up everybody else, and people forget that he was the first Tea Party U.S. Senate candidate, so he's not really, you know, Mr. Moderate. Mm-hmm. But now it may be boiling down to a two-person race. It is bringing undeniably more people watching the primary, more excitement. When's the last time Illinois was really involved in a presidential primary? It's either 76 or 80, mm-hmm. where we had any major impact. So I'm a former high school teacher. I want to encourage people to be involved and informed in the process. And I think my record will survive a challenge to throw the rascals out, especially, again, when you look at the National Rifle Association, National Right to Life, Farm Bureau, those constituencies that my constituents join to help them be involved and understand public policy.
As you well know, the last 6 years we've had divided government in Washington, D.C. with a Republican-controlled Congress, a Democrat in the White House. We certainly don't know how that's going to play out, but it's certainly a possibility we could end up with something similar after this November. How do you see the next 2 to 4 years maybe being similar or different, if that's the case, than what we've had the last 6 years?
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell. Even with the way the Republican primary and the Democrat primary will come on, I'm not sure. I don't know what the odds are in Las Vegas as if it's a Clinton-Trump, how that comes out. I think some people say, oh, Hillary has a walk, but I'm not so sure. I think there is that trust factor and that honesty factor versus the braggadocio factor. So who wins out on that one? I don't know, other than we're focused on, you know, getting through this year, you know, trying to at least pass a budget, get through our spending bills, and then try to look at the different areas in the federal government that we can directively either increase funding for or decrease funding for, depending upon what they're doing. And that's what we did a little bit last year. Even in the omnibus, I mean, there was Right to Life riders in there. There was The oil export ban was lifted in that bill. There's other things that are part of some bills that we're going to continue to work on.
You mentioned 33 counties in the 15th Congressional District. What kind of a challenge has that been for you trying to serve an area that's so large geographically?
Well, fortunately, I think I'm recognizable and people know I've been to these 33 counties. I mean, had I not done that work, just the grassroots work of having open office hours, traveling around, being at events, then I think, a challenge is a lot more challenging, in other words, because people say, well, I haven't seen the incumbent around, so yeah, welcome. But, in this race, it's pretty clear I've easily outworked, my opponent. And he started pretty late to the game of trying to visit 33 counties. I bet you he's pretty surprised at how big this district is.
That kind of brings to mind something that President Obama mentioned when he was speaking at the State House earlier this year, talking about gerrymandering of congressional districts. Certainly that's something that you've seen firsthand.
Lived it.
during your time in Congress. Is something along those lines, some kind of an independent maps bill, something that you could support in Congress?
Very much so, but it's a state issue. So it's I know that the governor has proposed to do that. They've had tried a referendum. Of course, it didn't get allowed on the ballot in the last cycle. I think there's a movement to do it again. I think the Farm Bureau is very involved with that. And I'd be very supportive. Iowa does it. They have a mapping commission, and I know how it kind of works. Mm-hmm. And I've seen elected officials move, to get into a district. So I do think this doesn't help our process because the middle gets left out. You draw hardline Democrat districts, and the race is always to the far left. You draw hardline Republican districts, and the race is to the far right. Where do the independents really get heard?